my shepherd I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Now, if you want to keep your Bibles open, I'm going to preach this morning on the 23rd Psalm. And I am going to go through these verses and just show you some observations that I have found and noticed in this, the Psalm of the 23rd Psalm this morning. This is without doubt the most well-known and well-loved psalm in all of the Bible, and it's probably as misunderstood as any other psalm in the Bible as well. For so many look at this psalm as the death psalm. But my friend, it's not just a psalm for funerals and difficult occasions, but it's more a psalm for living than it is a psalm for dying. Just want to share with you some observations about this 23rd Psalm, and I'll not hold you long this morning, but I just want to share this with you. First of all, I want to talk to you this morning about the perspective of the Psalm. The perspective of the Psalm. Now, many call the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalms the Shepherd's Psalms. They call them the Shepherd's Psalms, for they are written, a lot of it is written about the shepherd and the sheep. Matter of fact, in chapter 22, if you study chapter 22 or Psalms 22, you'll find the story of the crucified shepherd in chapter 22 of Psalms. If you study chapter 23 or Psalms chapter 23, you'll find the caring shepherd, how that the shepherd cares for and takes care of the sheep. And in chapter number 24, you'll find the crowned shepherd. For we find who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty. Amen. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. He has been crucified for us, and I have accepted his gift at Calvary that he gave, and therefore he's a caring for me, and one day I'll have the privilege of seeing him crowned forever, the King that he is, the King of glory. Amen. And so these psalms are from the perspective of the shepherd's psalms. Secondly, not only do I want you to see the perspective of the psalms, but this morning I'll park here for just a little while. I want you to see the person of the psalm. The persons of the psalm. Though it is called the shepherd's psalm, David, a former shepherd, writes it. It's really written not from the perspective of the shepherd, but rather from the perspective of the sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he starts saying, I shall not want. So the first character, and there are several characters depicted in this psalm. But the first character I want you to notice this morning is the sheep. The sheep, foolish and ignorant. He's just about the dumbest animal that there is, and cannot take care of himself, and stands absolutely in need of help from someone else to care for him. He's care, my friend. He is hungry, and he's thirsty, and he's foolish, and he's ignorant, and he's helpless. But my friend, he's also seen here as waiting to be devoured. Amen. Waiting for some predator to come and to eat him up. And my friend, he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's walking in darkness and does not know what steps to take. And then, my friend, not only do we find the sheep, but the second character I want you to notice is the enemy. Amen. Now in verse number 3, rather in verse number 5, the scripture said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So there's not just a sheep, but there's an enemy to the sheep. I mean, this enemy, friend, Maybe he's a wolf. Maybe he's a bird of prey. Or maybe he's a lion. But whatever kind of enemy he is, he's seeking to kill and to destroy. Amen. And to devour. And the sheep. Amen. And especially the most vulnerable ones. He looks for the little one. He looks for the baby lamb. He looks for the one that's sickly. And the maybe is the right of the body. Or maybe the one that's got a problem or an injury. I mean, they tell me that those wolves can sense when they hear the bleating of a sheep, that they can sense whether or not it's healthy just by the sound that it makes. I want to tell you, friend, the devil knows how healthy you are spiritually just by the sounds you're making. Amen. He can't see your heart, and he doesn't know all things. They can tell by the sounds you're making. I mean, when you're always making them kind of sounds, it says, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how we're going to pay Sears and Roebuck. I don't know how we're going to make it through the week. I don't know how we're going to make it through the weekend. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. I mean, the devil, he can smell blood in there. Amen. That's right. But when you're saying, boy, ain't God good? I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord. I want to know more about my Jesus. He says, yep, that's a healthy sheep. And he starts sniffing for somebody else. Woo! I want to tell you, friend, you ought to speak good things, say good things, sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and sing and make melody in your heart before the Lord. Amen. Oh, my friend, not only can the world hear it, but the devil can hear it, and they can sense the health of the sheep by the sound that he makes. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I think he can sense the hound of the sheep, the health of the sheep by the sound that he makes whenever he's singing. Amen. He's always wanting to sing precious memories and talk about what's in the past. Nothing wrong with precious memories. But if only thing you know about is the man of yesteryear, you're going to be in trouble when you fight the devil of today. Amen. I mean, the devil ain't living in days past. He's in his heyday, friend. And he's not going to leave you alone. Oh, no. You can sing about what we used to be. Grandma, Lord, send your best angel for my mama. And a bunch of other songs that ain't spiritual or scripture along the way. Always be talking about some foolishness. I tell you, the weak Christian's the one that only cries when you sing about mama and you want to talk about grandma and somebody getting sick and whining, my friend. As some Christians, they only want to sing songs that sound like they're singing the blues. Amen. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, that real saint of God that's a healthy sheep, he's the one that's saying, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Hey, it's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Blessed. I want to tell you, friend, he'll sing different, and he'll speak different. And my friend, the sound he makes will be different. I believe he'll make a different sound when he says amen. Oh, that's right. For one thing, I believe if he's a healthy sheep, he'll say it. Amen. That's right. If the sickly sheep that sit and wait for the preacher just to spoon feed him, I mean, when you get so sick that you can't raise your head up, and they come along, they just have to stick a little ice chips in your mouth and poke a straw in your mouth and hope you can slurp something down. Isn't that the way it works when you get naturally sick? Some folks are letting the devil know how spiritually sick they are, because that's the way they are in church. They don't get involved. They don't get in the service. They wouldn't say amen with a shotgun at your head. Amen. I mean, they let the service just pass them by and don't do anything and wouldn't make a holy grunt. Amen. And wait for the preacher to come along with a spoonful of ice chips and a straw from the slurp out of. And the devil says, yeah. Oh, I got him. That's the weak one. That's a soft one. And the enemy will pounce. That's right.
What you gonna do then, preacher? I want to tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna praise the Lord in two times. I'm gonna praise Him when I feel like it, and I'm gonna praise Him when I don't feel like it. Woo! Amen. And let the devil know that if I'm on the mountain or if I'm in the valley, if things are good or bad, that He's still God in my life. Amen. Everybody still with me this morning? Amen. That's right. Let the devil know you're healthy. And if you're not healthy, pretend like you are. Amen. That's right. And buy yourself enough time for the shepherd to give you some balm. Amen. Oh, thank God. Matter of fact, if you ain't healthy, best thing you can do, if a sheep's not healthy, you know where the safest place is for it? Right in the middle of the sheepfold, standing next door to the shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if you're not healthy, if you're not where you ought to be spiritually, best place for you is right where you are this morning. Amen. And get next to the shepherd while you're here. Amen. Oh, that's right. And so this morning we're talking about these characters or these persons in this psalm. The sheep is shown to us. That's the believer. And then the enemy is shown to us. That's the deceiver. And there's a third character I want you to point out, to you here. And that's the shepherd. He's the Savior. Amen. Oh, yes, the believer, the deceiver, and the Savior. Amen. Well, I want to say, what does the shepherd do? In Psalms 23, the shepherd, he provides. He provides. I mean, when the sheep is hungry, when the sheep is thirsty, when the sheep is tired, the shepherd, he provides. When he's hungry, leads us in green pastures. When we're thirsty, takes us by still waters. When we're tired, he restores our soul. Hallelujah for a good shepherd that looks after his sheep. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I'm one of his sheep. And the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. What does a shepherd do? He provides. Secondly, the shepherd not only provides, but the shepherd points. Amen. The shepherd points. He provides when the sheep's hungry, tired, and thirsty. He points when the sheep knows no direction. In verse number 3, he restored my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He points the sheep when he has no direction. And not only does he point us in the path, but then he leads us in the path that he pointed us to. He don't just tell you this is the right way to go, but he gives you leadership down that road and goes ahead of you and paves the way for you as you travel, friend. Amen. He provides. He points. I want to say thoroughly this morning, the shepherd, what does he do in Psalm 23? He protects. Amen. He provides when the sheep's hungry. He points when the sheep knows no direction. He protects when the sheep is in danger. Look what verse number 4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My friend, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Boy, that's danger, isn't it? That's danger. That's danger. He said, I'll fear no evil, though, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, bless his high and holy name. The shepherd's walked these dangers past before. Hey, he knows what we're going through. He knows the breaking of our heart. He knows the struggle, my friend, that we face every day. And he's walking down this path with us. I'm so glad of that. Hey, he knows of the danger. Hey, listen, and he said his rod and his staff comfort us. You see, he knows all the tools and the tendencies of the enemy. He knows the enemy's practices. He knows what the devourer does and the deceiver does. He catches the sheep in his snare. And he's walking in front of us. Hey, listen, listen, the trappers and my friend, those that go out that trap curs and so forth, they put in the dark places and the dark paths and the deep in the woods, they put down traps that if the critter was to step in them, it'd break their leg. snake and would keep them there snared until the shepherd could come and take their hide. The shepherd walks through the dark alleys and the dark valleys of life, his rod and staff in hand. Before him, he's a poking on the ground. And when he comes up on the trap, he just pokes the trap. It shuts its mouth and the sheep comes by. And many times doesn't even know the trap had been there. How many times have you been down this road of life? Hey! And you thought everything was all right and everything was going good. If you knew how many traps the Lord had already shut their mouths before you ever made it down the path, I mean, it'll amaze you. But he's a going before us with his rod and his staff, and he's a shutting them out of the traps and the snares. And all we've got to do is just follow the shepherd. How about that? And if it just happens to be that the enemy's on the way, and he's a standing and lying in wait on the side of the path, the shepherd knows about that too. Amen. And he watches as the sheep are coming through there. And as he goes first, he looks up on the ledges. And he looks up on this side and he looks up on that side. Down in this deep, dark, treacherous valley, walking just on the brink of disaster. And he looks up on the ledge on this side and on that side. And he watches as we travel. Amen. And he sees the enemies lying in wait. And he knows where they are before we ever get there. And not only that, he knows who the weak sheep are. And he knows who's a sounding weak. And he knows just about the time that the old enemy's going to pounce off of them ledges down on the weak little sheep and to try to devour him. But he's got his trusty staff and his, my friend, his a rod with him. And just about the time that old lion, or my friend, that old wolf, starts to pounce on the sheep, before he knows it, the shepherd is already over there beating the fire out of him. And my friend, on the end of that old staff, he'd have a hook. He'd grab the enemy, that old wolf or lion, around the neck with a hook and beat him with a rod. Amen. Hey, why'd he grab him with a hook? He didn't want him getting away before he got a good whooping on him. Amen. I'll tell you, that's the way the Lord will do for his summons. Our enemies are on every side and you feel like the world's closing in on you. And I'm glad God's got an eye on it tonight or today, my friend. And his rod and staff comfort me because you're taking care of my enemies today. Amen. And so his rod and staff comfort me. The Bible says that the Lord's the shepherd, we're his sheep. Now if that sheep was to get off the path, he was to get off the path, see, the shepherd come along with that rod and staff and get him back on. That's also not only a protection tool, but it's a guiding tool. Reaches out there when he starts to turn too far to the left, he pops him on the left side and says, get back in line here. Starts to get off too far to the right, he takes that rod, pops him off on this side and says, get back in line there. That's what the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God does to us. You get out of line, start going veering off to the right or to the left, the Lord will send the rod by that way. And he'll pop you a little bit on this side. Get back in line a little bit again on that side. Now things gets out of hand and the sheep goes too far. And maybe he's out on a ledge, or maybe he's afraid that he's in danger or about to hurt himself, or maybe gets in deeper waters than what he knows how to handle, or in quicker waters than what he can withstand. The shepherd will take that old staff and reach out there with a hook around it and use it not just to pop him and guide him, but drag him back in. Amen. And my friend, if dragging him in don't work, the shepherds of this day was known, if they had a continuously wayward sheep, they were known for taking, and usually they'd do it when they were but lambs. They didn't wait till they got to be grown sheep, because ain't much you can do with them then. But my friend, while they're yet grown little lambs, he'd take them when they started to get out of line too much and were continuously wavering, and he'd drag them in the sheepfold and take his rod and break their legs and cripple them where they couldn't get away. Well, that sounds rough, don't it? It does. Do you know this?
If he crippled the sheep, if he crippled the lamb, it meant he had to tote it. And so he'd break the legs of that lamb, and he'd splice them back together and medicate him and take care of him. And then wherever the sheepfold went, instead of expecting that crippled lamb to keep up, he'd just throw him up on his shoulders and carry him till he got healed again. Hallelujah. Lord, you continue to be wayward. Lord, there's been times in my life where I just kept going away and going away from God. But I'm so glad, my friend, he crippled me along the way. And he didn't leave me crippled in the road, oh no. But he bandaged me up and poured in the medicine that I needed and put me on his shoulders and carried me till I was well. Hey, it is through those times that the sheep and the shepherd create a great bond. And he'll not leave that shepherd's side again, but he'll walk continuously by the shepherd along the way. Hallelujah. We're talking about the sheep, the enemy, and the shepherd here this morning out of Psalm 23. That's right, ain't it? Amen. Our rod and my staff, they comfort me. He's protecting. Amen. He's not only pointing and providing, he's protecting. He prepares. Not only is he pointing, providing, protect, but he prepares. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Now, what about that? He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. What in the world does that mean? Well, I want to say he not only protects whenever the sheep is in danger, but he prepares when the sheep is intimidated. Now, you know what it's like, my friend, to be in a difficult spot and to feel like the enemy's all around you and you're running scared and don't know what to do and are just absolutely tangled up and can't get loose. And my friend, your heart's beating a mile a minute. You're worrying, your mind is frustrated. And my friend, you're all feeble with worry. And my friend, anxiety and stress. I'm glad in the middle of that, the Lord will prepare a table for us. I mean, friend, even in the shadow of death, even death itself will be but a shadow. I kind of like it was when the boy and girl was standing after their mama's funeral along with daddy on the side of the road. And the little girl's asking him, said, "Daddy, what was it like for mama to die?" I said, "Did she hurt? Was she scared? What happened to her?" And about that time, as I standing on the sidewalk, a big 18-wheeler come passing by. And my friend had come by and blew the wind off of that old 18-wheeler. You know how them old things do. They'll just blow you all over the place. And the wind off that big 18-wheeler sweep by them and knocked daddy's hat off. And the kids' coats flopped in the wind. And the daddy looked at them kids and said, "Are y'all all right?" They said, "Yeah, we're fine, daddy. We didn't feel anything but the wind." He said, "Well," he picked his hat up and put it on his head. He said, "I'm just glad that the shadow run across us and not the truck." Hey. He said, "That's what it was when mama died." I said, "She might have felt the wind and she might have seen the shadow, but it was just a shadow, for the Lord escorted her safely to the other side of Jordan's River." I tell you, he'll prepare a table for us when we're intimidated and when we're scared. There'll be a plate full of grace. There'll be enough for us to make it through our journey and our battle in this life. Hallelujah. He prepares when the sheep is intimidated. Though the sheep is nervous in the presence of his enemy, the shepherd does not indulge his nervousness, but he sets him down and feeds him. Amen. Well, here a while back, Brother Eddie and I was headed down to prison in Montgomery to preach down there. I believe it was when we was going down to Kilby. And there's this thing on the radio that said that the crisis food is fried chicken. Ain't that what they told us on there? Said that was crisis food. I said, every time somebody has a funeral or somebody gets sick, I'll bring them chicken soup, or dies, they'll bring them fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy. I won't tell you, I like it when I'm not in a crisis. Amen. Brother Eddie said it was crisis food for him. Every time he got hungry, it was a crisis, and he wanted to get hold of some fried chicken. Amen. I want to tell you something, I like that crisis food. But listen, hey, when you get in the middle of your crisis, the Lord might not have a chicken leg for you, but I want
I tell you, he's got crisis food. Hey, he's got crisis food. He'll feed you in the presence of your enemy. While the devil's sitting around showing you his teeth and a growling and a grumping, amen, and a threatening and a roaring, you can sit down at the table of the Lord and dine on his food, amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. The shepherd teaches the sheep that as long as the shepherd is near, the sheep have nothing to fear. Amen. And we can sit down and eat in the midst of... Somebody said, that wouldn't set on my stomach. Oh, if the Lord... If I'm scared, I just can't eat. I'm telling you, if the Lord fixes the food, it'll set just right when it gets on your stomach. Amen. That's exactly right. And so he provides, he points, he protects, he prepares. I want to say, not only does he prepare when the sheep's intimidated, but he prepares when the sheep is nearing the end. Amen. As surely goodness, verse 6, as surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the sheep is nearing the end. The sheep is getting to the end of his days and the end of his ways. But the shepherd's not surprised by it. He knew where the end of the journey was. He knew where it started. He knew everything in between. And he knew how it'll end. Amen. And when he gets to the end, the shepherd's already prepared for what's at the end of the journey. And thou dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, and there you may be also. And whither I go, you know in the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm glad he's got a place prepared. He's got a place prepared. Well, praise his name. And I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He's got a place prepared. Hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling like having a Harrelson County fit. Amen. Praise his name. I'm glad he's got a place prepared. Hallelujah. Well, we'll talk to him this morning about the perspective of the psalm, the person of the psalms. I want to close this morning with the portrait of the psalms. The portraits of the psalm. I know that there is in this chapter but one shepherd. But this shepherd is not just depicted as a shepherd. We make the mistake here in reading Psalms 23 of only seeing him as a shepherd. But he's more in this chapter than just a shepherd. He's a shepherd, but he's more than just that. And I told you a while ago I've messed up my watch, so it ain't working right. I'm just sweating too much to keep it on. Don't worry about it. I won't preach till I get done. Amen. That's right. Like them two little boys went to church together, one with the other. One of them was Baptist, one of them was Catholic. And they went to a Catholic church, and that little Catholic boy told the Baptist boy, said, this is what that means when he picks up that cup and makes all them signs and gestures and so forth and all them other things that they do. And he said, this is what this means, this is what that means. The little Baptist boy took the Catholic boy to church, and he said, what does it mean when they stand up and pray? What does it mean when they go down for altar and all them praise? And why does that preacher preach so loud? And then the preacher took his watch off and set it up on the pulpit like this right here. We could see it real good. And he asked that little boy, said, what does that mean? And he said, I'm going to tell you something. I've been going to church here all my life, and that don't mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. Amen. And that's just about right, ain't it? And so I'm just planning on preaching and get done anyhow. Oh, yes, but I want to show you the portraits in this psalm. The portraits in the psalm. Now, there are three distinct images in this chapter that I want to illustrate to you. I want to say the Lord is illustrated or portrayed in three different ways in this psalm. And one of them we've already hit real good. And I'll just backhand it and move on. But the first one, he's portrayed as a shepherd in verses 1 through 4. And if he's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and I'm glad of that. But in verse number 5, he stops being a shepherd and starts being a host. It said that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. A sheep don't eat at a table. A sheep eat in a field. But he said here that he prepared a table for us. He's quit being a shepherd and he started being a host. Woo! It's one thing to be a sheep in his pasture. It's another thing to be a guest at his table. Hallelujah. And then I noticed like I sat at the table of the Lord. And he brought us the king's table continually. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he's a guest. We're his guest and he's our host. Amen. I mean, it's so sweet to dine as a guest at the table of the Lord. Now, I want to say something right here. And you can think what you want to about this. But I'm thankful for the men of God. Amen. I am not. I know that the Lord's called me to preach, and preachers ain't supposed to say nothing about themselves. But I'm going to tell you something. I've learned to love preachers. I mean, that's right. I do. I love preachers. And there's some preachers I know that pastor churches never get anybody else to preach for them. But my Lord, I love preachers, and I love preaching. And that's how some of you asked me, said, why don't you preach more often what you do on Sunday night? You don't preach but half of them or less. That's because I love preachers, and I love preachers. And I like to hear the man of God preach the word of God. And I love our preachers here. And I love to have these fellows come over to my house. I like to have these preachers from out of town when they come in. I like to have them come to my house. It's all right to take them down to Zaxby's or Summers or another, the Cracker Barrel, or my granddad says the Tractor Barrel, wherever you want to take it along the way. I mean, it don't make a whole lot of difference. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing like having the man of God in your house. That's right. I mean, you take him down to Cracker Barrel, and there's 700,000 heathens gathered around you making so much racket you can't even hear one another talk. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't enjoy the dining experience at most of these restaurants. I might like the food, but it doesn't mean I enjoy the dining experience. Right. But there's something about having the man of God at your house. I don't know if you realize it or not, but if he really is God's man, having a man of God at your house elevates the category of your home while he's there. I mean, he's ought to be a special guest down at your house. And some of you's brought me to your house, had to fed me time and again, and Sister Tracy keeps telling me she's going to fix me another chicken pot pie, and she has not done it yet, and it's been almost 4 or 5 months ongoing, and I've already got to the point where I'm nearly ready to turn her over to the devil for the affliction of her body that their soul might be saved. I'm telling you what's true now. But my friend, I tell you, you've been good to me. Come into your house, and you feed me the best you got, and you treat me the best you can, and all those things. I went into a little house out in Alabama one time as preacher of the Bible back before he even got married. And that little old sack was a falling in. I mean, nearly everything was a broken in that house. And the floor is squeaking and sinking on this side and that. And my friend had to go out on the porch to wash her hands. And didn't even have a bathroom in the house. Amen. And they got in there in the prayer. And the woman with the house set a little old bowl of butter beans on the table and a little old pot of cornbread. And me and the preacher said the church there sat down and they started to eat our meal. And I'm going to tell you, absolutely, that bowl of butter beans didn't look that big. But both of us think we was just about ready to burst. And then she looked over at us and said, I've got a chocolate pie or chocolate pudding with egg white on it if you like to have some. I thought, my Lord, I've gone, died, and gone to root for. I love them chocolate puddings with egg white on it. And I eat that and absolutely eat lunch ready to burst. That little lady was absolutely a gracious host. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it's one thing to eat in your home. It's one thing to eat in a fine dining establishment. It's one thing to eat at the nicest country clubs. But you've never known a gracious host until you sat at the table of the Lord and eat the what he provides. And your soul's been fed at the table of our God. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to run from here to Goobertown, Arkansas. Hallelujah. He's a shepherd, and then he's a host. But then look down verse number 6. Tell me if I'm wrong, Brother William. Surely goodness and mercy, is that right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now a guest, Brother Jeff, a guest, if I come to your house and eat some of that good chicken chili that your wife fixes or some of that Frito pie that I'd like to have some of, and was to go over to your house and hang around for a little while and eat just some of that, and just a little while, last time I come, I had nursing home service, I believe, that afternoon, just come hang around, just eat and leave. Boy, that's good. But, I mean, just a little while, there's going to come a time a guest in your home's going to leave. Isn't that right? You hope. Some of you had some of them guests moved in. They just set up a campsite right there. Amen. But a guest in your house eventually has to leave. I come eat supper with you. It's going to come bedtime eventually, and I'm going home. That's right. You come eat supper with me, it's come bedtime sooner or later, and you're going home. I guarantee it. Amen. You're like my granddaddy will do. It gets late. Some of them stay too late, and he'll say, well, I'm going to bed. You won't spend the night. Amen. He's had one or two of them take him up on it. I like what the old preacher, old James Spears, says. Turn around and ask somebody to go home with you. They'll tell you can't, and you'll both feel better about it. Oh, my Lord. But they're going to come a guest at some time or another. He's going home. He's not going to stay forever. He's only there for a limited amount of time. But that last verse didn't say I'm going to go see him for a while and then I'll have to leave. But he said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The only folks that get to live there forever is family members. Hallelujah. Bless his high and holy name. He's not just a shepherd and just a host, but he's our Father. And we're his youngins. Hey. And the table and the house and the place of God is for us forever. And there's a coming day we'll just not move into his community or into his city, Brother Matthew, but in my Father's house, amen, and we'll dwell forever. I'm glad he's my Father and I'm his son tonight.
Been preaching to me tonight in meetings, ain't I?
That's all right, brother.
Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved forever. Amen. I'd like to punch a devil in the eye this morning. Just say, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Ain't you? Amen. Glad I'm in. And I'm in forever. He is mine and I'm his forever. And there ain't a thing the old booger man can do about it. Right. Amen. I'm glad I'm in. I'm glad I'm in. I wonder this morning, do you know what it's like to be a son? Now listen, it's one thing to be a sheep. It's better to be a guest. But my Lord, at the privilege of being a son. Of being a son. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we could be called the sons of God. Beloved, we are now the sons of God. And he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We do know when he shall appear, we shall be like unto him. For we shall see him as he is. We're his children, created in his image and his likeness. And one day we'll be like him, and we'll see him as he is. And it'll be forever. You know what I thought about this week? I was dwelling a little bit, Brother Matthew, on heaven. And them's good days. When you find a place in the closet and shut the door and get the whole world out, just you and Jesus, you can think about heaven a little while. That'll brighten up your whole life, friend. And as I dwell a little bit on heaven, and I got to wondering, what do you think will be the best part about heaven? What you're looking forward to the most? Now, of course, I thought about Grandma, and I'd love to see my little granny again. I would. And I thought about getting to hear her testify and shout again, wave that little hand like this. And I thought about the old saints of God that's done gone on, my preaching great-granddaddy. I thought about the ones that I never got to know, people like Paul and Silas and James and John. My Lord. I thought about that magnificent throne and the angels that stand round about it. What a sight to see. The river of life, the tree of life, all the sights that are in the Scriptures. I thought about standing and casting my crown before the face of the Lord and giving him honor and giving him glory. My God in heaven. And I'm talking about home now. I'm not talking about someplace I don't know nothing about. I'm talking about home. And
then I got to considering what would really be the best thing about it. Of course, you can't say anything would be better than getting to see Jesus, except for one thing, and that is getting to see him and never having to leave. Hallelujah. Yeah. Bless his name. The thing will make heaven so good. He'll say, we'll never end. We'll never shut her down. Boy, there's been some times I've gotten the glory down here. Had Brother Bob, I was sat until I was worn slam out. Had my body was shot, and I just couldn't understand that. One night it got on so good. I was about 15, 16-year-old. Hadn't been saved just a couple of years. That's about three or four of us got in the prayer room down at the basement of that old church over in Paul County. We prayed, and we absolutely could not make a sound and shout and praise God 4 or 5 hours that night. I mean, running so ragged, I couldn't hardly stand that street. And I sat until I was down. But there come a time eventually when the weariness of the flesh set in and the weariness of the body set in and I couldn't shout no more and my soul was still happy but my body was worn. But there'll come a day when we'll get in the glory like that and it will be forever and ever and ever and ever and we'll never have to leave.
Amen.
On the converse, hell's just as eternal as heaven is. My question for you is this morning, are you a sheep? Are you a guest? Are you a son? Are you just here on the outside looking in, wishing that there's something down the inside that satisfies your soul? God help us, today you can get in. The sheep is in this fold and the shepherds are calling, are trying to get you to come in and out and find pasture. But you're going to have to hear the shepherd's voice and heed it as he's dealing with your heart. This morning, you a wayward sheep? Are you a wandering sheep? You wandering away from the fold, need to come back? Are you a weary sheep? Just weary in flesh and tired and hungry? Why don't you let him put you in green pastures and beside still water? Let him comfort your soul. I wonder today, would you come do business with the Lord? Stand with us, please. If you need to come pray, I want you to come this morning. I've preached to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Are you in the sheepfold? Are you on the guest list? Are you in the family? Do you really know the Lord? Are you prepared to walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone? I can assure you, you are not prepared to walk it alone. But if you've been born again, you won't have to. Now's the time to come to know him. Now's the time to bring your cares and concerns to the shepherd. He's the crucified shepherd, the caring shepherd, and soon we'll see him as the crowned shepherd. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Some have already come to pray. You need to come do business with the Lord. Would you come? She's singing this morning. Would you come pray?
He is a fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by this world's demands, the pieces are mended with one scarred hand. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must believe. Thy great physician's touch is the balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. It's a hand that hung this old world in place. A hand just to give me grace, and to think this hand that can hold the stars, it's still small enough to mend one broken heart. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must believe. The great physician's touch is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand.
There's no more at the office the other day. Had a little problem with the leak in his, I don't remember, his power steering and transmission, something or other like that. And there's another old boy, there's a somewhat of a shade tree or hobby mechanic. He told him, said, ain't no big deal. Says, all you got to do is just put a little JB Weld on it. And said, that JB Weld will fix it right up. And said, he'll keep it from, seal that thing up, keep it from leaking on you. And he did. He put him some JB Weld on it. You know what he told me, Brother Matthew? He said, it's stopped the leaking, but there'll always be that streak there where it used to be broke. Well, I thought about that, and I thought about my heart and yours. Now I want to tell you something, friend. Hallelujah to his high and holy name. The Lord's a whole lot better than J.B. Weld is. On account of when he takes a broken heart and puts it all back together again, he can even take away the streak where it used to be broken. Amen. Hallelujah for the Lord Jesus. I'm glad there's a place where we can lean on him today. Men, broken hearts and one scarred hand. I'm glad he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you look into that psalm again and not just call it the death psalm and understand it's a living psalm. And I'm glad I'm a living in the 23rd psalm. I'm glad I'm living in the 23rd psalm. Well, praise his name. I believe I've obeyed the Lord this morning. How about you? I thank God I'm saved. Boy, I'm glad I'm in. I'm glad I'm in. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Bob. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we go talking about home. It ought to get you kind of worked up if you're headed there. Amen. Gets me excited about it all. Some folks, you go talking about the Braves, they get excited, or they go talking about the Bulldogs or something, or they get all keyed up. Brother, you go talk about home, it gets me wound up. Amen. That's right. Thank God, I'm glad I'm saved. Well, I appreciate you being here this morning, being a part of the worship at the house of God. Now, this afternoon, remember to be here at 4 for the bell choir, 4:30 for the Christmas choir, and then 5 o'clock for the Christmas play practice, and we'll worship at 6. And so if you want to make sure you don't miss nothing, just show up at 4. Amen. We'll have a good time with the Lord and do our best to bring honor and glory to his name. That's what it's all about. If they play them bells and everybody sits back and says, oh boy, ain't that pretty. And they forget about that Noel that they're playing about. And they forget about that, oh come all you faithful and adore the Lord that they're playing about. Then we've wasted our time. We want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And I'd ask you to come. Be a part of it. Please don't forget it. And then we'll worship at 6. Thank you for being here this morning. Turn around, fellowship one with another. And listen, one more thing. I meant to mention this. My wife will get me if I don't. One more thing. I forgot it till just about now. We keep some food in the pantry here that we use and try to help folks out if they need some groceries, or we got a family in the church or something or other that's running shy, and it's been a blessing on time too to help get some folks through. And I'd ask you if you would
during this Christmas season. Bring a little extra groceries. Non-perishable stuff, I mean, it won't do us much good if you go to bringing milk and eggs. So, of course, we need non-perishable things, canned stuff, you know, maybe some good old pinto beans and stuff like that. Canned stuff, you know, where we can pass that on. Dried beans. Dried beans ain't better. You can buy a bag of dried beans big enough to feed an army for a month for just about $5 or $10. I mean, absolutely, you can get a 10-pound bag for just a very little amount of money. And it could be a real blessing to somebody along the way. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt nothing to buy a bag of dried beans like that and get you some Ziploc bags. Get you about a 10, 12, 15-pound bag of dried beans. Get you a Ziploc bag and just put a good helping in, you know, for a meal. And one at a time, just split it up like that. And then you could buy a whole bunch of beans. We could pass them out for one meal at a time like that. Help folks through the day or two along the way. They'd already have a supper made. All they have to do is pour them beans in the pot and get them good and hot with some water and salt and pepper. And absolutely as good as a T-bone steak now. Especially get you a little bit of cornbread to mash in there with it and a good ripe, sharp onion. You know, the kind that bites you right here when you eat it. Man, that's good. Man, I like that. Thank God. So do remember that. Pray about it and help us out with that this Christmas. That'd be a blessing. Fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed. I like beans, brother. I do now. Especially with onion in it now. Got to have onion. I got to have an onion and a little. And that's one thing I got to have salt on some pinto beans now. Buddy, it's good to see you this morning. I appreciate you coming. It's good to see you. Alex, Nathan, good to see you, buddy. Little man, it's good to see you this morning. Basically, appreciate you. Good to see you.
Well, you gotta ask
them.
I
want to
sing.
That's fine. What you
want to
sing?
Anything you want to sing, big time. All right. I've been thinking about it all week. I was listening to one of the CDs.
Sing at Mama's Prayer.
Molly's thinking I firmly promise you.
Yeah, but see, that involves me.
That's okay, too.
I was trying to think of what you sing without me.
Our pastor must be hungry.
Yes, sir, I am.
Favorite passage from the Bible.
I love
never
it.
Quite looked at it the same.
I love it.
Be right back, brother.
Appreciate you, brother. Hey, buddy. Just dragging around. I'm telling you what's true.
You better get on that one set of footprints this morning, weren't you?
Oh, Lord, I thought about that. Man, that's right, too. And, notice that the time when there's in one set of footprints is when that old sheep had been straying and kept straying. That's usually when our troubles and the hardest times come up in life. It's when we keep straying. It ain't always, but usually we keep straying. Then the Lord will break our legs. And you know, I've learned something, that today's prayers is not what helps me through today. It is yesterday's prayers that helps me through today, and today's prayers that helps me through tomorrow. So usually whatever I'm living on today, I can blame it on yesterday and I can go ahead and figure out how to adjust to it so tomorrow will be better. Ain't that right?
Yep.
My Lord.